You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Other announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading. Okay, the scripture is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1-7. And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Okay, well, we're only two out of the three this morning, because Reuben's a little bit sick, and these things happen. He had a good game last night playing football, and then came home a little bit sick. So, I should say on Friday he came home a bit that way. So we'll pray for him, make sure that he gets better, because he's got a big week ahead. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee again for a day to fellowship together, meet together, and open thy word. Pray, Lord, for Reuben, for his health, Lord, and pray for the Christian Heritage Academy, Lord, as it seeks to guide the young people and help them in their life's journey, Lord. We pray for this fellowship, Lord, you'd reach down and guide us and seek to show us thy will in every way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yes, the election's coming up, and the first debate is, what, Monday? And many commentators are saying this is going to be watched right around the world in a big way, massive way. So it's not only here in the United States it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a big deal right around the globe. And so I've been following this thing for some time, because it is just so unusual. Everything, every facet of this whole thing to do with Hillary Clinton. You've got the Clinton fiasco and all the history of all that that's gone on with that. And then you've got an outsider come in. Trump, you know, he's just come in from where, we're not sure, and to some degree we don't know much about him, really, except we hear what he says, and what he says seems to be reasonably on target. And we've got the globalists who are out to really discredit him, and there's all sorts of stuff going on to do with the elections. I've heard, for example, that the UN has been invited to watch over the voting process, and all sorts of stuff like this going on. You know, it's really weird what's going on. And I think we need to put this to prayer for the nation, because I think this is going to be a huge dividing line. A big intersection is coming up. You know, a big move is going to take place. Then you've got the issues to do with Hillary Clinton herself in terms of her health. I mean, have you seen what's been going on with that? All kinds of weird stuff. I mean, lesions on the tongue. Stuff like she's collapsed, and then the media tries to hush it up. And all this kind of stuff. It's all going down. Well, we're in Revelation, and in Revelation chapter 16, we find what can happen with a government that is controlled by Satan. And to some degree, we've got to admit that the federal government has been controlled to some degree by Satan. And, you know, some people, they interpret their patriotic statement and their patriotic zeal, they interpret this to mean that you must be somehow behind the federal government. But surely this would be a big mistake, because the federal government has definitely been compromised in terms of the Constitution, in terms of what was intended by the Founding Father. So that we need to be very careful about how we express our patriotism, right? To be patriotic, in my opinion, does not mean that you endorse the federal government. It doesn't mean that. And in some cases, it's going to mean that you're diametrically opposed to the federal government and what it's been doing and how it's been behind all sorts of things going on in this world, which is not good and opposed to the scriptures and opposed to what we hold dear as Christian people. Well, we're not going to go down that angle. I mean, we can go down that angle. I mean, I'm very tempted to go down that angle. Very tempted. But I think we've got more important issues before us in terms of understanding what God's will is. We need to be quite clear about what God's will is for us in this age and what His will is for us in terms of how we as a local fellowship should function and how we should witness and live out our lives. That's what we've got to settle first. And on that foundation of truth, then we can give intelligence to our voting, we can give intelligence to any kind of political thing, but that's the foundation from which we've got to go. That's Jesus Christ, and of course His will is made known as we rightly divide the word of truth. So we're in chapter 16, and I want to sort of more or less finish off chapter 16 today. It's a magnificent chapter. And in verse 1 it says, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple." This has to do with God's innermost thinking, because it's coming out of His heart, the temple, right? Coming out of this temple, saying to the seven angels, "Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." Pour out the vials. So this is the way it begins. And so you go through these vials. Now, these vials are more or less, as far as I can see, saucer-shaped things, quite shallow. And where have we got our little controller here? Here we go. And so these things are going to be poured out, and they have a tremendous effect on the earth. So here's a picture, the seven vials of wrath. And you're going through here. Yeah, just when we need it, we need the batteries. So number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them. And if you read in verse 2, it says, "And the first went out and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore." We talked about the way this sore is mentioned in scriptures. And God is certainly willing to use all manner of disease as judgment on people. And the botch of Egypt is mentioned in the scriptures in Deuteronomy 28:27. Very, very frightening thing, and in all sorts of ways would be damaging. "Upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." Well, the beast will have his way in certainly punishing and bringing judgment on believers, but then the beast himself and his followers will also be judged. And in chapter 16 you find this coming about. As you go through in verse 3, it says, "And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea." This touches upon this teaching of man, his nature and his destiny. Soul is an interesting thing, because when I was a kid growing up, and also in my early Christian years, in my 20s, we were taught that the human being is the only one that had a soul, which is manifestly not true. That's not what the scriptures declare at all. And so as we go through and we understand more about this whole teaching, so a lot of attendant doctrines begin to fall like, you know, a whole lot of dominoes. You've seen these domino sort of things people get involved with, competitions with dominoes, who can build the biggest domino thing, maze, and, you know, once they've finished making this for weeks upon weeks upon weeks, then they bring in the cameras and then they flick the domino at the one end and around it goes, and all sorts of things happen, and it's pretty intricate. Well, that's like some doctrines, you know. Once one falls, then it affects another one, and affects another one, and affects another one, and soon what you've got is a cascade effect. Now, when you come down to verse 10, it says this, "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast." The seat of the beast. Well, if you go back to chapter 2 and verse 13, the seat there, Satan's seat, is in Pergamos. Pergamos. Now, if you try and find these places as is recorded in history, and of course to some degree we're trusting on remains and so on, that the modern towns are as they have been, and because there are ancient artifacts, then we would say that we're probably very likely that this is where these towns would have been and will be in the future, because they're associated with some sort of historicity. A town doesn't just come into being by the same name in the future when it has all this history. It's got to be the same town. So, I mean, it could happen. I mean, it's possible that it could happen. But it's very much more likely, I think, that the ancient names are also the names of towns that will be in the future in the same locality. So you've got Ephesus there, you've got Laodicea, Philadelphia, Sardis, Thyatira, Pergamon, Smyrna. And there down in the sea there, you've got Patmos, where John was. So that's where Satan's seat will be, but it doesn't mean to say it's going to be stationary in the sense that that Satan's seat will remain, that his governmental power will simply remain there. It could be that it's there for a time and then it moves, right? Moves in time. And as you go down further in verse 11, it says, "And blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." We talked about this, how sometimes, even though you are shown miraculous things and you go through punishment, instead of interpreting the punishment in the right kind of way, you get mad at God. It's not as if you say, oh, God doesn't exist. You may, in fact, affirm his existence and then get angry at him. You know, you get angry at him. And it says in verse 12, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." So there is going to be this way which will go through this river Euphrates, which is going to mean a path for armies. It's going to be a path for those who perhaps will want to get down into Israel, and from a positive sense and also from a negative sense. But a pathway is being made available here. And it says in verse 13, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." Okay, so what you have here is a picture of spiritual demonic activity. How is it that all of these nations are going to fight against God? Well, that's it. It's a demonic activity. When Jesus came to this earth, you saw demonic activity opposing him directly. You've got demons even addressing Jesus. "Thou Son of God." You know? Even call him by his correct title. "Thou Son of God." They would address him. Demonic activity. Well, demonic activity will again come on this earth in a big, big way. It's symbolized here by these frogs. Do you like frogs? We get some weird things happen in our house sometimes. We get these little frogs. You've seen these little frogs. They're cute little things popping around. I don't know how they got in the house, but they're popping around in our bathroom. Hello. Pop, 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 pop. So I grab them, take them outside, let them go. Well, we've got other things popping around in there, not so healthy too. I haven't been hit by one, but we had a couple of scorpions just recently. So they got the heel of my boot on them. Crunch. Anyway, so those things are interesting. And frogs, they are a strange thing. They're a good picture of a demon, I think. And then it goes on in verse 15, "Behold, I come as a thief Here it is. This is Christ. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So the shame, of course, is for those who are naked before him, with whom we have to do, in the sense that they are not prepared. And it says, and he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Now this is pronounced Ha-Mageddon, which is the hill of Megiddo. Okay, the hill of Megiddo. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. Now, this is where it gets interesting. This is why I brought you here, because it is kind of interesting where you get this air business. If you just hold your place here, and let's have a look at Ephesians again. We read this at the beginning. And this is brings us back to what Paul says to us in this age. Now, he's speaking to the Ephesians, but the Ephesians are a church, a fellowship, dwelling in the same age, time-wise, as us. So we've got to take note of this in a special way. Verse 1, it says this, chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened. What does it mean, quickened? It means to make alive. If you cut down to the quick, you cut down to the living, right? And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's our spiritual state, man. Before having known Christ, that's our spiritual state. But it's not simply talking about this from the point of view of the personal, but also in the point of view of the national. It says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Well, that's during our age. The prince of the power of the air. He has power in the aerial regions during this age. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now working, this age. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. And the lusts of our flesh. Times past. So that's kind of an interesting expression, isn't it? So here you've got times past, and then you've got but now, and then what you've got is ages to come. If you look at the expressions here that come up in chapter 2, look in verse 7, that in the ages to come. There it is, the ages to come. And then if you look a little bit further on, it says this in verse 13, but now. So you got time past, you got ages to come, and then you've got but now. That's us, man. That's us. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But now, that's our state now, man. Made nigh. Have we ever been made nigh by being grafted into the olive of Israel? We haven't been made nigh by being made partakers of the new covenant. We haven't been made nigh by all these things. But we've been made nigh by the blood of Christ, and our hope now is that which is given to us by this man, Paul. Paul, no, he's not a gold digger. He was unmarried. He is the one who brought gold to us, though. Oh, man. My mind just went to something, but better not go there. Okay, so that's cool. That's really cool. Oh, yeah, I got to learn how to write that in Mandarin. Cool, man. So this is, I think this is right. And then it goes like this. And you put a little mouth on there, and then you go like this, and it's got a Christian cross. That's Mandarin for cool. Cool, man.
So I was quite amazed at it because, you know, you got this symbol here which looks like a mathematical pi, and then over here you got the Christian cross. Kind of interesting thing going on there.
Okay, well, that's interesting. So going back to this idea, let me get to the point. Why am I talking about this? Well, look what happens here in Revelation 16. In Revelation 16, in verse 10, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. That's the seat of the beast. Vial goes out on the seat. Okay? And then in verse 17, it says, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. But wait a minute, isn't that where, in this age at least, the Satan has his aerial regions? And so now you've got judgment on the aerial regions, right? And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, whoa, look at this, it is done. Man, that's pretty strong language. Does it ring bells in your ears? It is done. Haven't you finished? Haven't you heard something like that before? John 90? You've heard that from Christ. It is finished. Man, that's really, wow, that really gets my ears going. I can hear something in there. Like, this is a very important point in time. It is done, man. And if you look a little bit further on, if you look at, it's found again in Revelation 21, verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Oh man, the context here. It is done. Some momentous thing has happened when the seventh vial is opened and there is now judgment going on to the aerial region where Satan, and at least in this age, has got some dominion. God has allowed it. How God deals with Satan, I haven't worked out totally. But he allows Satan's mischief and his rebellion to happen and will even use him at times directly to bring about his purposes. Just like a wayward child, you might use in some sense, that they might have to go through some actions and learn themselves the hard way, and they can also be used in other ways to bring about some sort of education. All right, look at this. It says in verse 18, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. So when this occurs, when this seventh vial is poured out, you find a vial which hits the region of Satan himself. Very interesting things. Now, to show you this, I believe that the way these vials work is they bring in the final end of the sealed judgments. I'll show you what I mean. As a continuum, and right at the end of that continuum, we have the vials. Let me show you what I mean. Look at Revelation 12. Okay? And Revelation 12 is all about this man-child, which is basically the remnant of Israel that stands by the stuff. And you get the introduction to that in verse 1, where you get something akin to Joseph's dream. You know, Joseph was an amazing man, and he really suffered a lot from his brethren. They got jealous of him when he brought forth this dream and started rehearsing it in his brother's ears. And man, they didn't like it one little bit. Now, the people living in the Middle East, they do think a lot about dreams, more than we in the Western world do. Right? I know this for a fact, talking to people from the Middle East. Dreams are still a very important thing to them. When they hear about a dream, they will take note. What happened in that dream? You know, that's kind of a significant thing. Dreams are not unimportant. They hold significance. And so Joseph, he recounts this dream to his brother. And his brothers hear it, man, and we're going to bow down in obeisance to you. You little runt. And they get him back for it. But as you go down, look at verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. In the vile judgments, you get the completion of things. The totality of the judgment occurs when the vials are given. And so you have, first of all, in chapter 16, verse, hold your place there because we'll go back to Revelation 10. It says in verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his vial. This is in chapter 16. And then down in 17, you got the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. This is where Satan really is getting kicked out of his dominions. But that's great for those who are in the realms of where Satan used to have his dominion. They're going to be happy about that. But where Satan goes, it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough. In Revelation 12, it says this. In verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, here it is, and ye that dwell in them. Why? Why are you going to rejoice? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. And of the sea, right? Remember we talked about the soul, every living soul and sea dark. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Look at his knowledge. Is he going to say, well, I know I've only got a short time, so God have mercy on me. No, no, man. He's going to fight. He's going to have maximum destruction. Maximum. So where the devil was, rejoice. You guys, where the devil's coming, sorry, mate, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Revelation 16. And it says this in verse 18, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Okay, so these little things we call in Oklahoma earthquakes, these are nothing. Zero. What was the latest one we had? 5.3 or 5.7, whatever it was. Nothing. We had a real big one in New Zealand, just off the east coast in the North Island, 7.1, nothing. There's coming a massive earthquake. Massive! And look at the effect of this earthquake. Verse 19. And the great city was divided into three parts. God uses all these things to do things on the earth. And the cities and the nations fell. The cities. Cities. Not just one. Sure, he's going to talk about Babylon, yeah. But the cities of the nations fell. What from? This earthquake, like man, is going to make every other earthquake look like peanuts, man. Just a bit of indigestion. This one here, man. Well, keep reading. It says this. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every... Look at this. This gets interesting to me. Every island. It says every island. Every island fled away. Well, what's going to happen to New Zealand and Tonga and Samoa? Well, it could be that he's in reference. He might be just talking about the local area here, but I see no reason why this is not a worldwide event. Right? Every island fled away. Now, it doesn't just say that. It says, and the mountains were not found. Well, that's very, very, very much what we expect to happen when the mountainous regions are pushed down through movements and the waters come up, right? Archimedes type principle going on here. The waters come up. Islands drowned. Gone. Do you know that there are islands already in the South Pacific where they've got agreements made with different countries that when the waters get too high that they can come to those countries? Like there's an agreement with New Zealand, there's an agreement with Australia, and I think there's other countries as well that have said, yes, we'll take you when this event occurs. or might occur. And this has been fueled by the global warming paranoia that's going on around. And a lot of this global warming stuff, I think, is all about the globalists' intent to get influence in the world, get their way, and move people around. Look at what's going on in Europe and in America and right around the world with all the immigrants. Why would an intelligent person allow mass immigration of people from areas of the world which hold to philosophies which are completely at odds with what we believe in? And they know this, right? And they don't vet them. And they know that these people will be terrorists, many of them. Not all of them, but many of them will be terrorists. And they know that. They know it. Anyone with common sense knows that this must be the case, but know that we're going to bring them in. How do you explain that unless they are under obedience to some other group? Now, you say, well, that's conspiracy theory. What is a conspiracy, man? How do you explain so-called intelligent people right around the world making decisions like this? How do you explain it? Unless this is what they want. This is what they want. They want this. They want the populace to be disrupted. It's got to be. It can't be any other way. You say, no, they don't believe it's going to happen. It's already happening, but they still are going to do it. They still want to do it. It's happening now. They see it happening. People are being murdered. People are being massacred. And we're still going to bring them in. Yeah. Oh, it's got nothing to do with Islam. We're going to bring them in. You know? How else do you explain it? They know what they're doing. They're doing it on purpose. It's a part of the program. It's part of the program, right? Man, anyway. So, and when in verse 20 it says, "And every island fled away and the mountains were not found," that goes very much with our understanding of plate tectonics. Right? I'll just show you the picture of the hell that you can see right around the world. You find these plate areas where chunks of mass of land go over or under another plate. And then great movements of the crust can take place. It's almost like we're really living on this, if I use the word porridge, you'd use oatmeal, okay? Hot oatmeal, right? There's the earth, and on top of it is a crust, right? You know, what I don't understand about modern science is they say that the earth is zillions of years old, 4.5 billion years old, right? Well, how come it's so hot? How come the earth is just so hot, and we have lava pouring out of the earth in different places? I mean, it's been around for so long. How come it's so hot? Wouldn't it have cooled off by now? So that's a bit of a question I've got. Anyway, so it's going to happen. So when you look at this word seismos, which is the word from which we translate the English word earthquake, you find it used in various places. Look at this one in Matthew 8:24. "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea." So this tempest here is in fact the seismos. It's actually just a movement. It's a movement of some kind. And right throughout these passages, and then we come down to Revelation 16:18, and here we get the big one occurring. This great movement, which is an earthquake that moves the islands. And verse 21, "And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." Men blasphemed God. Oh, man. Right throughout here you find this. You find this mention of blaspheming. Right throughout the Bible you find use of this word. In Matthew 9:3, this is the first use of the word. "And behold, certain of the scribes," that's in the New Testament, "said within themselves, this man blasphemeth." He gives verbal violence against God. Now, that's what they're saying. If you go on and you find out some of the places where this word is used, it brings to mind a lot of important doctrines. Look at this one here, Mark 3:28. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies, wherewith soever they shall blaspheme, in Mark 3:29. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Now here's a thought. I want you to look at this. This relates to Paul. All right? And he gives his testimony in three different places in the book of Acts, or rather it's given a testimony about his conversion. And it says in Acts 26:11, and I punished them oft in every synagogue. That's what Paul did. And I punished them oft in every synagogue. Oh, you see, this Christianity, it's all made up by Paul, and it's got nothing to do with us Jews. Oh, yeah? Well, what's this Jew Paul do going to the synagogues where the Christians are? How come? Because the early church were Jews for Jesus. People forget that, don't they? That's how it all began. And compelled them to blaspheme. Now, which would be worse, to blaspheme or to cause people to blaspheme? Paul was the one who felt the need to cause people to blaspheme. This is who he was. He was a blasphemer, and he caused people to blaspheme. Well, does that mean, therefore, that Paul is without any chance of forgiveness? Well, obviously, no. He said himself as a testimony that he did it in ignorance and unbelief. And he found grace in the sight of God. So, what about this blasphemy? Well, you'll find that as a nation, Israel committed a great deal of blasphemy against God in rejecting Jesus as their Messiah. And they finally got judged big time. And they would be in danger of eternal damnation. In danger of eternal damnation. That doesn't mean to say that they would be lost forever. The Bible, especially Romans, says quite the opposite. They would be brought back. So here is my lesson for today. We got all our way through to the 21st verse of chapter 16. It's in a mighty book. There's a lot there to be learnt. And some terrible things coming on this earth. Earthquakes are happening today, but they're peanuts compared to the big one that's coming. We've got such great news. All of these earthquakes are nothing, friends. Don't worry about these earthquakes. They're nothing, nothing, nothing. Anything that happens here, a few stones fall over, your chimneys might go down, but my friends, there's a big one coming, the likes of which has never been seen before. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace and mercy, which is paid to us in the person of Christ. Pray for each person here that as we leave this place, we'd be better equipped to serve Thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.